Hello and welcome. This is Joshua Terry. You're listening to the Joshua Terry Podcast. I really appreciate you for listening. Today on the podcast, I am so glad to announce that Mr. Zach Davis was able to make an appearance. I'm so happy that we got to talk as long as we did. We talked almost 2 hours. So brace yourself. Make sure you got time wherever you're at. This is a good long podcast. We talk about a range of things. Talked about country music, talked about his music he's put out, and then we talked about football at the very end. He had a lot of great stories to tell, and we're just going to get right into it. So without further ado, here is Zach Davis. Ladies and gentlemen, I am on the Zoom again on the podcast. I have my good friend Zach back better than ever. He is looking good. His beard is looking thick. He is shining. His skin looks clear. He is himself. He's wearing his Braves hoodie. I know this is an audio podcast, but I'm just letting y'all know. I'm describing my buddy here. Zach, how's it going?
Man, it's going good.
Awesome. Well, for everybody that remembers, Zach came on last year right after the Super Bowl. We talked about his American Idol experience and how everything's been going for him with his album that had come out. That wasn't that long before the podcast that we recorded last year. That was like right before when you put your album out. Now he's had a couple more singles. He's had a couple more singles since then. We'll talk about that here in a moment as well. But Zach, just tell us what's been going on for you.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, we put out the two songs here recently. We were aiming for a lot more for this year, but you know, with the COVID stuff again, you know, getting in the studio is dang near impossible. So we released the two songs. Been playing some shows. I finally got a full band put together this year. That one that, you know, is going to stick with me for a while. So we got to play a few shows with them. Crazy talented group of guys. And then me and Brianna bought a house.
Awesome.
That's awesome. We bought our first house. I told Brianna I didn't want a dog, but now we have a dog. That's about it, man. It's a mutt is what it is. Perfect. He's husky, chow, beagle, and something else. There's some massive other dog. I keep wanting to say Saint Bernard, but I don't think it's Saint Bernard, but it's something to that extent, size wise,
yeah.
He's so weird. Weeks mix. Old and I know it's a bunch of weird dogs. Well, I mean, one of them was, you know, just a stray that stays around, and then the other one was someone's husky, so that's where the husky came from.
Okay,
he was born in my backyard, so of course, Brianna just felt like she had to take care of him.
So, wait, it was just some random stray gave birth in the backyard, or it was somebody?
Yes. No. Yes. Oh. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
that's weird.
it was, I told like Brianna, I was at work, Brianna FaceTimed me and she said, oh my God, look at this. And she turns the camera around and there's literally seven puppies and a mom dog in my backyard. And I said, no, I already knew what she was thinking. Like, Brianna, we are not getting a dog. It's not happening. And then probably about 2 hours, yes, he's the cutest freaking dog ever.
But so she just had one sitting that he liked out of the litter?
Yeah. And she just took him inside, put him on my chair. I was like, what? No.
Newborn.
So we had been gone for like – So with our work schedule, we work 7 days on, 7 days off, right? So on our off weeks, we like to take trips or go home, stuff like that. And so it was, you know, during the holidays. So we had gone home for Thanksgiving, then worked a week. Then I had a week that we had some shows. I had two or three shows that week. And then we worked a week. And then we went to Christmas. And we came back and worked a week. And so the dog was like 6 weeks old by the time we found him.
Yeah.
He found us, however you want to say that. So yeah, he's like 8 weeks, 9 weeks old now. Dude already weighs like 13 pounds. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And I mean, y'all, so I'm guessing y'all kept just one out of all of them.
Oh yes. There were
Are you
seven
training him and everything?
Trying to. He is for the lack of a better usable term, he's just a stubborn dog. We're gonna say stubborn. That's the word I feel comfortable saying. he doesn't know what the word no means. He doesn't know what the sentence do not chew on that means. And he doesn't know what, hey, let's go potty outside means. So we're getting there though.
Yeah. You got to get him in a routine.
Yeah. And that's hard because I work days and Brianna works nights. So like, it's hard because, you know, when we come home, we're ready to sleep because we work 12-hour shifts. Yeah. So it's hard to get him on a schedule when every time there's someone home for 7 days straight, we come home to sleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but we'll get him there. We're going to get him
there. Yeah. Nice. Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about, you did release two songs since your album,
mm-hmm.
but first I want to ask, how did like overall reception? The album was released late 2020, November.
Yes.
Late November of 2020.
Yeah.
So it's been out a full year now. Overall, what are your thoughts on like the success of it, how it got around, how it's been affecting your life? Because I know that you've been able to start singing at different places, even amidst the pandemic. Yeah. We talked about that too. But overall reception, how happy are you with how it went?
I think it went well, especially for a first album. You know,
yeah.
A lot of
they
people
don't have like a big label or all that
right.
either. So,
I think a lot of people, you know, they release a first album, and they either expect greatness or they expect it not to do anything. I think we went into it, you know, thinking that, you know, we expect decent. And we had had, you know, Home, did pretty well as a single. What You Say did pretty well as a single. Both of those songs are on the album. So we thought it would do decent, which it ended up. It made it on the iTunes country charts for albums.
Nice.
And I think the highest we made was like 73. So that's, for a first album, that's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
I was very impressed with the way that people listen to it.
For sure.
But I think also it was really weird to see the difference between like, you know, because whenever we release an album or a song, we can see where it gets streamed, right? So that was like my real first experience of seeing the difference between like iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, YouTube, all those different kinds of music places. And for me, iTunes blew it out of the water.
Heck yeah.
Which a lot of artists like for it to go to Spotify. Because per stream, Spotify pays a little better. But for me, a lot of my, you know, listeners bought the album. So, which you can't do on Spotify.
Yeah.
So it was a lot better for me from iTunes, you know, than it was from anything else.
Yeah.
Just because people were actually going and buying the album, which I was very surprised they did that too, because there's so many where you can just download it for free and pay the monthly or whatever. So
yeah,
I was extremely impressed with it. I thought for a first album, it was pretty good. Looking back, the only thing I probably would have done different is just release them all as singles. You know, just a single per month or whatever. That's probably the only thing I would have done any different. But other than that, yeah. I think it did pretty well.
Taking the Justin Bieber journals out route.
Yeah.
That's what he did. Because he released one single. I don't remember what day of the week it was, but it was like a thing. The album sales weren't very high when the full album finally released, but he had made so much off of the singles that I don't think he really cared about what the album numbers were. Because that's the same thing he did. He did it with like the first half of the songs and then he released the whole thing. He even put one out for free, which is pretty cool. Now, you mentioned how we talked about it last time too, versus Spotify and iTunes. That's a big thing that Garth Brooks actually has. A lot of people might notice his music's not on Spotify. He is totally against the whole streaming one song kind of thing. He thinks it's wrong if you don't buy the full album. It takes away from the experience. Now, he's a purist, obviously, and he's made a lot of money himself. So it's not really up to most people to critique him. I'm pretty sure he's the highest selling country artist ever, even more than George Strait and guys like that are huge. But what are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, you just said you'd probably had rather release it as singles. That's probably just a way that things have changed just in music and in general nowadays in the industry.
Yeah, I think Garth Brooks' music came at a time where albums were the popular way. You know, there's been a, what am I trying to say? An evolution of how people listen to music. You know, we had records, then we had 8-tracks, then we had tapes, then we had CDs. You know, then we started downloading music illegally off LimeWire.
And yeah, now
we
have iTunes, LimeWire.
You know, so
LimeWire and Napster.
Yeah, so like, I think, you know, Garth Brooks, Brooks and Dunn, all those guys came out. Their music in the 90s, 80s and 90s was when, early 2000s even, was when, you know, CDs were the popular method.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Apple came in and just messed the game up, you know?
Yeah.
And I think when you think about, you know, buying CDs, 100% of the price of the CD goes to the artist and his team. So, you know, back then when a CD was what, $11.99 or something at Walmart, $12 went to Garth Brooks, the people that wrote the songs, the people that played in the songs, people that produced the songs, his manager, blah, 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 blah. And he was selling millions of copies. Well, now you turn the page and you go to iTunes and that same CD sells for $11.99. But when someone buys it, iTunes gets their cut too.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of big, old, purist artists don't like it, because now they're having to share money with a company that had nothing to do with their success and the success of, or even putting together an album, you know? And I can 100%, you know, if my name was big enough, if I was freaking Garth Brooks and I knew people were going to buy my album anyway, I ain't putting that junk anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
If I knew people, if I was going to make millions regardless, and I was going to sell out NFL stadiums full of people, forget iTunes. I don't need my stuff on there. I'm not going to make them any money. I think that's the thing. They didn't put anything into making me who I am. So why should I give them any money for it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And also, I just wonder how do you think this is the case now with singles specifically versus albums? I'm just looking at your Spotify here myself. Your number one most listened to song is Dirty Water in terms of total streams. That was your first one that you ever put out.
Yeah, so I was going to say, everybody, that, you know, like 3.5 years.
Yeah. But the second biggest one is the single that you put out right before this one. It's called Hit the Bar. If you haven't heard it yet, everybody that's listening, go give it a listen. It came out on September 24th. So it's been out a couple of months, but that's your most streamed, probably the most streamed right now, even over Little One, which came out not long ago, just a month or two later. But, you know, you're also seeing guys like Post Malone, lots of rappers. They don't hardly ever put out albums anymore. They'll put out one or two every couple of years, but they put out 5 or 6 singles in between. Mm-hmm. And the singles, they'll just throw them on the albums afterwards, seems like it. And that's the only reason the albums come out, I guess, is because they have record deals that they have to put them out. But it is interesting how it shifted, though. And I mean, are you going to probably keep doing that for a while before you consider another album, or how's that going to go?
Yes, the whole album experience was great, but it was one of the most stressful experiences of my life.
I bet it's grueling. You got deadlines.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
Got to get everybody there.
And in all honesty, too, man, I got to talking about this with another artist friend of mine who was talking about putting out a whole album. And I told her, I was like, don't do that. It's, you know, and like I said, if I could go back, that's the one thing I would change about the Hey Papal album. And the reason is because people nowadays have music ADHD. They want to listen to 500 million different artists. And nobody is a purist, like you said, anymore. Nobody is, oh, I strictly listen to country music, or I strictly listen to hip-hop and R&B, or I strictly listen to Christian music, or whatever it might be. Everybody, I mean, if you go through my iTunes right now, I have got every freaking genre of music that is possible to have.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the people, before iTunes, before you could mix it up and make playlists and all that other kind of stuff, people listened to whole CDs. You know, they listened, they popped in the truck, they listened to it, and that was it. And now when you can make a playlist on your phone, my favorite songs or whatever you want to call it, and you can put all these different songs that you're listening to at the moment into one group and listen to all different stuff, it doesn't make sense for an artist to release an album anymore.
Yeah. Cause you're going to have two or three songs that you put a lot of work into that just going to get buried. They're just going to get buried.
Right. And that was the thing with the album, you know, like if you look at the stream numbers for the album, the first four songs on the album are the four songs that have the most streams.
Yeah.
And then after that, it just dies off.
Yeah.
You know,
which is crazy because your best songs are at the end of the album.
Yeah.
In my opinion, a couple of them, you know, I mean, now, to be fair, it's only an 8-song album, but still.
Right.
Yeah, that is crazy. And I'm the same way. I was late to the game getting to having any kind of iPod or iPhone or anything. My parents didn't get me that. I had to get it myself. Not because they couldn't or they hated me or whatever. They just taught me, you know, get these things for yourself. And I value actually what I've gained from that kind of work ethic to save up and buy something that I want. But I didn't get an iPod till I was 16 or 17. Most kids had them when they were 8 years old. I was CDs was it. I had I would go to Lifeway and my mom would just be like, all right, we got to go. And I'd be in there for an hour, sometimes just looking at CDs, and I'd spend all my money on these CDs. And now they're just on a show. I don't even know where they're at, half of them.
Yeah, I remember some of them going away and like trying to find the new Cutlass album.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, like we would dig through there because I was the same way, you know, like I'm, you know, we're both part of the generation where iPods, iPhones, all that stuff got invented. So I remember like the iPod Nano when it came out and everybody's parents were buying them one.
Yep.
And dude, we grew up where there wasn't that kind of extra money, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember the first iPod that I ever got was I don't even know what it's called, but it didn't even have a screen.
The Shuffle.
It was the Shuffle. That's it. It was a little square thing and it had a little circle in the middle of it. And that's what I had. I couldn't just go through and pick whichever freaking song I wanted to listen to.
Got lucky if you got a song that you like.
Exactly. And I mean, but you know, that it was to everybody still, that was so cool. You know, like that was a turning point, especially the music industry when it came to, you know, we're not buying songs anymore, we're streaming songs and having to figure out how we're going to pay artists and stuff like that, you know, and you know, you have these big sponsored and paid for playlists, like, and that was another reason we wanted to, if we could go back, we'd do it as singles because you can pitch songs now and you can get these big Spotify playlists with millions of listeners. Oh, well, hey, like if you pitch this 20 days before we put it on our playlist, you might get 100,000 streams off those songs and stuff. So,
yeah, pretty cool. I know that you got put on a Yellowstone playlist, right?
Yeah, that was weird, dude. It was weird. When I saw that pop up that morning, I was like, Yellowstone? What?
Yeah.
I had to go look at the playlist. It's a bunch of old school, like country songs and stuff. And which they put Little One on there. So I was kind of confused, but I mean, it was pretty cool. I got a good amount of streams off of it too. So
there you go.
I was all right with it.
I started to watch that show. Have you watched Yellowstone at all? It's so big right now, but I haven't watched it. And now everybody I know and their mom has watched it. And I'm like, I guess I need to get on that.
I've watched the first season.
Yeah.
And it was really good. But I watch so many different things.
What are you watching right now?
So, I'm rewatching Hawaii Five-0. I watched it when I was in college. I love that show. The Good Doctor. We're watching The Good Doctor right now. I am watching Vikings.
Okay.
And every now and then I'm throwing in some old school NCIS as well. But it's my papa's favorite TV show. It's my favorite TV show. I'm a big Gibbs fan. So
yeah.
I like to throw in some NCIS every now and then.
I work with a lady that loves her some Gibbs. She loves
Gibbs is amazing. Is one actor I would love to, which I don't know. I haven't. So I'm watching all the seasons that I've actually haven't gotten to watch. So I haven't had cable since I was in college. So 6 years, seven years. So I don't really ever get to keep up with all the new seasons and stuff. So there was like five seasons of NCIS I haven't even gotten to watch yet. So I'm watching through those right now. And from what I understand, Gibbs actually like retires in the next season that I'm about to watch, and I almost don't even want to watch it. I almost just want to start back over at season one.
Yeah,
and, you know, do
that show's been around a long time, and it's been the number one show for a while too. But
yes, I think I'm on season 19.
Oh my god!
And he retires in season 20.
Spoiler alert, but
yeah,
it's probably not the end of Gibbs. And anybody that's been out for a while,
that episode is already aired. So people that keep up with it better than me, they've already seen it. They've already shed their tears. I'm not there yet. So I will. I'm going to call you crying in a few nights. Oh, my God, Gibbs left. But, yeah, I mean, and I'm sure, you know, it's as prolific as what he is. And Mark Harmon is really not an old guy when it comes to, you know, acting and stuff like that. But also he's like a main producer on that show. So I think he comes back pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. That could be someone they bring back for like special events and stuff like that. Yeah. NCIS been around since I lived in Russellville. And I remember just being a kid watching that. That show was on while House was on. That show was on while
House is a great show.
Yeah, that's on.
Psych is a great show.
Yeah, like all those shows were on when I was middle school, I think. It's still
see, and those are the shows that like my mom and my papa watched growing up. So those are the shows that I really got in, like all those crime and mystery shows, and then
they appeal to a lot of
shows and stuff like that.
They appeal to a lot of audiences, especially middle-aged people love, and older people, they really love NCIS. I'm not sure what it is about NCIS specifically, but young and old really love that show. I don't know if it's because he's a nice looking old man, or I don't know. It's got a little bit of everything. It's got some comedy, it's got action, it's got a lot of suspense. And every episode you can watch on its own most of the time, unless it's like a 2 or 3 part episode or something.
Right.
You just kick it on anytime and enjoy it. That's awesome. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of different shows also. So you kind of go back and forth through a bunch of different shows that you're watching all at once.
Yeah, you know, whenever I get off work and I drive home, because our drive home is 45 minutes. So, I get home, I'm tired, and I go to the fridge, see what I did or didn't remember to put out for dinner. I either cooked that or put it in the microwave, and then I grab an adult beverage and I go sit on my couch and I turn the TV on and I'm like, you know what? This is the one for the night, you know, and I'll watch 2 or 3 episodes and I go to bed.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, I want to transition. So you have had some time touring. I want to hear some touring stories. Tell us some stuff that's happened while you've
been
out and about. If there's one thing, now it's got to happen in the moment. And normally whenever Zach gets to tell his big stories, he's feeding off of 5 or 6 people that are just drawn to him because he's just a big guy. We all just love listening to him. He's the best storyteller I know. And we haven't really got to do that this time. So I want to hear a good story. Tell me a good story.
Man, let's see.
I know I'm putting you on the spot, but.
Man, I've got two. that would be really cool stories. One of them, I can't specifically use names.
That's fine.
So
call them Roger and Steffi.
Yeah. So we'll tell both those. So they're both about songs. Actually, it's really cool. So about writing songs anyway. So I was on the road to a show in Ohio, it was before I had wrote home. I had just released Dirty Water, and I was picking up some acoustic gigs.
This is a while back.
Yeah, this is like probably about 2.5 years ago or so.
Okay.
And man, I'm rolling on the road. It's before I met Brianna. I was, you know, single guy. I had some buddies that lived in Ohio, and I was playing a show up there. So I'm driving up there, and this gas tanker flips in the middle of the road. Big, massive pile up, but it's in the middle of the interstate. I sat in traffic for 4.5 hours. No lie. So like 2 hours in, I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to go and just sit in the back of my truck. And like, I didn't want the truck to be running, so it was hot. And it was a beautiful day outside. So I just got out of the truck, grabbed my guitar, and I put on a concert in the middle of the interstate.
In the middle of the interstate.
Yeah, bro. Just sitting on my tailgate. I started playing music, having a good time. And then I ended up writing the song Home on my tailgate in the middle of whatever interstate that was on the way to Ohio because a gas tanker flipped.
That's awesome. So
it was crazy.
You're on the back of your truck and all these people are just stuck. And so I'm guessing the weather was all right. So
yeah, and they all started, some people got out of their vehicles, like, because after I got done writing the song, I was like, dang, you know, I really like that. So, you know, I did a little voice memo and sang it. And then the guy in the, like if I was in the middle lane, so the guy in the lane to my left when I was looking back,
yeah,
he's in his truck and he had his window rolled down. He's like, dang, dude, you're pretty good. I was like, oh, thanks, man. He's like, well, play another one. I was like, okay. So I just played another song. Well, then this person was like, hey, can you play this? And I was like, yeah. Am I playing a show right now? Is that what's going on? So that's awesome. I literally played like a little gig from the tailgate of my truck. And they tipped me too. It was pretty great. Paid for my gas. So
heck yeah.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the other story, it's a little bit longer. So, but this one's
perfect.
This one's hilarious. So
I got to say though about that one, that's like one of the coolest. And then I wrote this song and that's how that song came to be. That's
yeah. And it was crazy because that was, I don't know. I mean, for people that haven't listened to Home, you wouldn't make sense, but it was really what I was feeling at the moment. I just moved to Nashville, away from my family. And, you know, and now I'm on the road to go play a show, really wishing I was back home. And now I'm sitting in a dead stop for what seemed like forever, you know. And, you know, I was really just feeling like, man, you know, I wish I was back home. I wish I was in the country because it was like in like Cincinnati or something like that. So it's not even like it was, you know, a forest or anything around me. All it was big buildings, you know, just giant buildings. I'm like, ugh, this has got to be like one of the worst things to ever just have to sit and stare at for 4 hours. So
yeah,
I was really missing home in the moment. And I mean, it was literally the reason I named the song Home, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
It was, I don't know. Yeah, it was really cool. But then the next one is actually about Hit the Bar.
Okay. So, that's his newest song. Well, second newest song. They're both
second newest, yeah. Kind
of back to back.
Which go ahead, Hit the Bar ahead. Is my fastest to ever hit. I think what is it, 10,000 or 20, something like that. It's the fastest to hit whichever one. And it Hit the Bar and Little One have more streams between all the streaming platforms. Hit the Bar and Little One, just those two songs have more than the whole album of Hey Papa, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So we went to North Carolina with a friend of ours for a show. And the show was actually really cool. This little kid had a severe type of cancer. So we went and actually did the show for free in North Carolina, and all the proceeds went to this guy, this kid, and, you know, his treatment and all that kind of stuff. So that's what we were there for. Kind of, it was almost kind of a sad, somber day, to be honest with you, because he wasn't doing very well at the time. And so we go out, play the show. And then that night we were like, you know, we need to get in a good mood. Like, we need to get out of this little funk. So we went to a little local Mexican restaurant, ate, you know, had a couple adult beverages. And then we go back to the person's house where we were staying, and they're like, hey, do you want to have a bonfire? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Well, they had like a little fire pit, so it wasn't really like a bonfire.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a North Carolina bonfire.
Yeah. Well, and there was another group of people. So the place we were staying, it's a brother and a sister, you know, we were hanging out with the sister that lived there. It was me, Brianna, her, and then her fiance. And then the older brother was out doing his thing. And they were actually having like a real bonfire. Like, they had a big pit fire out there. So all this stuff goes on. They ask us to come to the bonfire. Drinks were drank. Stuff was said. And we were in the middle of writing the song Hit the Bar. And literally a fight breaks out in the middle of the thing. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, where's my wife? I can get to my wife. And yeah, dude, it was crazy. Like, there was probably 30 people out there, and everybody's just throwing fists everywhere.
Oh my gosh. So it's just like
it was a brawl, dude. Like,
everybody's just fighting everybody.
Oh yeah. And I was, you know, I was still, you know, extremely sober. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Well, then this one guy ends up hitting Brianna.
Oh my gosh.
And I went absolutely ballistic. So
she just kind of got in the way, or he came over and did that, or,
you know,
I want to say she got in the way, but maybe she just was in the wrong place.
Yeah, I didn't really see him as he was going that way. I'm going to hope and pray that he didn't actually target my wife. But either way, it happened. He ended up on his back. That was just how that one was going to go down. So we literally had this big farm brawl. The father of the house came down there. You know, broke everything up, blah, blah, blah. It was a whole crazy shebang, dude. It was wild. So that's why in the second verse, whenever I sat back down to finish the song Hit the Bar, the second verse says, Country Boy Big Mouth gonna get knocked out. Y'all better have my back. That's literally the reason for the second verse. So
because some guy hit your wife, so you put him down, and you're like, you know what? Yep. I'm putting that in the song. I don't care how I got to.
Exactly.
It's going in there.
Exactly. So, yeah, man, we've gotten in some wild. I mean, and then going back to Ohio, we had a barn party in Ohio, man. It was the year before COVID. So, I guess this might have been the same one where I wrote the song Home. We drove up there. No, this was a different one, because that time I had my buddy Zach Hatton, who does music as well, he's got some really good music. If y'all haven't heard his music, go check his stuff out.
What was the name?
But we drove up, Zach Hatton. He spells his different, Z-A-C is how he spells his, and then H-A-T-T-O-N is his last name. But he's got some really good music out. I think he's got two singles out right now.
Okay.
But we drove up to Ohio this time. We're doing this barn party. And, you know, when I'm thinking barn party, I'm thinking like, oh, you know, there's going to be like people in the haylofts and I'm going to be down on the ground, right? No. They had me and him on this stage, and I don't even know that I would call it a stage. It was literally probably 30 foot in the air. And, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm a big guy. You know, I'm 6'5", 375. I don't like heights. I don't like ladders. I don't trust ladders. I don't trust floating stages.
Okay.
I don't trust rope at all. There's a lot of things as a big guy you just don't trust. And this whole situation was one of those things that I did not trust whatsoever. Yeah. And so not only was it hilarious to see me get up onto the stage, because like when you walked into the barn, you walk in, big door, right? Big barn door. You walk in, and then to the left, there was a ladder, and it was built into the wall. The ladder was built into the wall. So I'm like, oh, dude, this is looking sketchy. Like, I don't know how cool I am with this. And they're like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So I'm like, okay. So I climb up that ladder. Nothing happens. It's great. So then you have the first two haylofts, and this was like a three-story barn.
Okay.
So you have the first two part. Well, they had turned this whole barn into like a party barn. So it wasn't even haylofts. There was like couches and stuff all in there, and it was honest to God just for parties. So then you walk probably, it's probably 80 foot long, the barn is. So you walk all the way to the back, and to go up to the next level, there's another ladder. But this ladder is only like a foot and a half wide, and the rails that you're stepping on are only like a little bit bigger than a half dollar, maybe. I'm like, no, no, this is not how my life is going to end. I'm not, I mean, it'd be great for it to end during music. That's awesome. I'm doing something I love when I go, but not on a ladder, you know, like that's embarrassing. You know, like I'm this big guy, and I'm going to break through this ladder, and it's going to stab through my femoral artery, and I'm going to die. I'm going to bleed out. So I'm going to
be a terrible way to go.
Yeah. I'm going through all these scenarios on how this is just going to be a bad thing. And, they're like, hey, you know, quit being a, you know, and get up the ladder. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I go up this ladder, and it makes the very top step makes this like crack noise, and I jump. I like Superman off the ladder.
Oh, Lord.
Stage, and I'm laying there like, I'm like breathing hard. About
I wish
cry.
I could have seen that.
Oh, dude, it was so bad. So I am freaking out, and everybody's sitting there laughing. They're like, what's going on? I said, The step cracked. I'm freaking out. So I set up all this sound equipment. You know, we get everything good. And they're like, well, you can use the ladder on the other side. And I'm like, okay, yeah. So I use the ladder on the other side, and going back down was even worse. Well, they forgot to tell me that this ladder wasn't built into the barn. This was a wooden ladder that they just leaned up there. So I go to take, I'm going backwards, put my foot on the first rung. It's fine. So as long as my hands were on the little stage thing,
yeah,
the ladder stayed, you know, still, I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Well, the first step that I took, where I took my hand off the stage and actually put it on the side of the ladder, one of the legs on the bottom came up on the ladder, and I freaked. So I just stood still. Somebody get me off! Somebody get me off!
Who's going to get you off?
Exactly. It was a terrible situation. And I looked down, and I'm only like 6 feet, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to slide. So I kind of bear hug the ladder with my two arms.
Oh my gosh.
And then I put my feet on the side of the ladder, and I just let myself slowly like slide down the ladder.
You Assassin's Creed down the ladder.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Dude, it was miserably terrible. I was so terrified for my life in that moment.
Now your biggest phobia is just ladders now.
Ladders, yes, 100%. And you know, I went back this past year and played the show, and they wanted me to go in the same spot, which they built new ladders.
There you go.
So it was okay. But that same ladder that was built in the wall, the first one, that one was still there. It was still the same. I was coming down, and I cracked my leg on that ladder, and I actually broke my shin.
What?
I had a knot off my leg, probably about an inch and a half the next day off my leg.
Yeah.
Where all the swelling had gone to. And I went and had it x-rayed, and I had a little fracture on the front of my shin.
It's terrible.
From that ladder. I know, right?
On the front of your shin, too, there's not much they can do. You just got to kind of...
There was nothing they could do. Wait it out. It hurt for days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was miserable. So me and ladders don't get along. I'm scared of clowns.
Clowns? What's a clown going to do? Why are people scared of clowns? Is it because of It? Like...
Yeah, I've never watched It. Okay.
Why clowns? Story time. I've never understood clowns.
When I was a kid, my grandparents took me to a carnival, and I think it was in Little Rock. And I was a very clingy child, you know, so because my whole life I never really like my papaw watched me in the summers. So and then, you know, every now and then when I needed to, I would go to daycare because there was a daycare connected to my mom's work growing up. So I'd go to daycare every now and then, but I spent my time with Papaw. You know, I was constantly around family. And so they take me to this carnival, and the only thing I remember physically hitting the clown in the nose, but he picked me up.
So a clown picked me up.
Yes, he picked me up. He wanted me to squeeze his nose, and one of those big noses that made it, you know, like when you squeezed it. And I didn't want to squeeze his nose. I didn't want to touch. I didn't want to take a picture with him, and I dang sure didn't want him to pick me up. And he did, so I busted his chops. Period. And I was probably only 3 or 4 years old. Maybe a little older than that.
But it's etched in your brain.
It's etched in my mind. And so then this was the one that got me. You know Magic Springs and Hot Springs, right?
Yeah.
We went to Magic Springs one year, me and some friends. And I was there with a girl, you know, trying to impress this girl. I was like 15.
That's where you go. You take your girls to Magic Springs. It's what we do.
Exactly. Right. It's the thing, man. It is the 100% game changer in a relationship when you grow up in that area.
Yeah.
So I take
where I kissed my wife for the first time. That was our first kiss to the Magic Springs. Heck yeah.
Man, that's what a story right there. Mine was first time I kissed my wife was in Nashville, but she came up to see me. But anyway, so we're I take this girl to Magic Springs, bought the ticket and everything, bro. Spent like $80.
You were going ham.
Take this yo, dude, going ham, bro.
I bet you had a hat on. Did you have a hat on?
I was swagged out a little bit. Well, you know, I was in my redneck hip hop gangster stage.
Heck yeah.
So I was wearing, you know, I was wearing cowboy boots. And you know, what are they called? Rock Revival jeans.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Well, my family couldn't afford Rock Revivals. So I had whatever the Walmart version of that Heck was. Yeah. And so, and they had this like thick white paint looking stuff on the front of it. They were ugly, dude. I don't know why I thought I was the coolest kid in school with that. And then I had a sweater. I remember it vividly because we had just gotten our Lettermans too, like our football Letterman jackets. So I have this Letterman jacket on, and then I have my little hat, you know, turned backwards. It was the snapback because what was that song called? Snapbacks and Tattoos had just come out, you know? So I've got my little snapback hat on, Letterman jacket, sweater, jeans, boots, right? Dressed to the T's. So I take this girl to Max Screams, and they're like, we want to go to the clown house. I was like, no, absolutely not. And they were like, yeah, dude, let's go. Well, a lot of my friends, because I hung out with a bunch of older kids too, but I mean, you know, Magic Springs starts hiring people at what, 14?
Yeah. I think it's 15 or 16.
Yeah. So all of my friends were getting jobs at Magic Springs. And then a lot of my older friends were in high school already because I think I was a sophomore in high school. It was my sophomore year of high school. So then all my friends that were a little, couple years older were working out there. So I was like, all right, you know what? I'm not going to be a wuss. I'm gonna go through this clown house thing.
There you go.
And my idea was to keep my head down the whole time and nothing's going to bother me. So I'm walking through the clown house, heads down, eyes are pretty much closed, grabbing onto the person in front of me. And we have to stop at this door, and the door is like locked, and we have to wait for him to go through. Well, I realize as I'm looking down, I open my eyes and I'm like, man, this floor looks funny. It was plexiglass. And a light come on under the floor, and there's a freaking clown under the floor.
Staring at you?
Yes. And I freaked, bro. I was like, get out! And so I'm screaming. And so I'm like trying to go through the chicken exit. Well, there wasn't a chicken exit right there, and they wouldn't unlock the door. So I'm freaking out. Well, then all of a sudden, this clown comes, and I cannot remember this kid's name. The next day, the next school day that we had, we showed up, and he had a black eye in his face because he came up and was like, Zach, are you okay? And all I could think about was this clown that knew my name touching me, and I reared back and absolutely socked this kid in the face. And I did. I blacked his eye. Next day. Oh, I think it was a Saturday, so whatever, Monday, he showed up to school and he had a black eye. I was like, dang, bro, what happened to you? He said, you. I was like, no. Dude, I felt so bad, but I hit him and got out of there. Like, I ran halfway across Magic Springs, just, dude, I was freaking out. I hate clowns.
So you and Girly Fry didn't work out?
No, we didn't. I didn't. Man, she didn't even kiss me that night. I'm kind of upset. I spent all that money. I didn't even get any.
It's your own fault. Man. It's your own fault.
You know what? You're right. I did make myself look like a pretty big wuss. So,
see, yeah. I never get scared in those because I don't know. It's a mental thing, I guess. Like when I go through the Magic Springs ones, I've never gotten scared. I always think it's cool. But yeah. Brianne, my wife. I remember when we were dating and I was there with her sister and her sister was all about it. And Brianne's like, I don't want to do it. And I was like, come on, you could do it. Whatever. Hannah, her sister's like, come on, Brianne, you got to do it. So they both went in. I had them both on my arm. Like I just had them both on one arm each. Just
like a stud.
What's yeah. That? And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to take care of my family. And this is my family. So we're walking through it and they're freaking out and stuff. But Brianne gets a little overwhelmed as this is all happening and Hannah's just screaming at everything. And I remember at one point, this one girl was dressed like a zombie and they're not supposed to touch you. So that's where the guy made a mistake with you. They're not supposed to touch you. And I know that. So I know if I keep moving forward, they're going to move out of the way. Anyway, Brianne and Hannah are both holding on to me at this point. They're both like holding on to my stomach. And this girl just standing there and is looking at them and they just start screaming and yanking me back and pulling me away. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Go forward and we can get out of here. And they're like, ah, and wouldn't let me move forward. This girl's laughing at them. Brianne starts crying, poor thing. So I was like, all right, we're just going to get out of here.
She said she started crying.
Yeah, oh, Brianne was crying. And it was so sad. I didn't make Brianne go in any others after that. I think one she did try one later on, but she had her eyes closed the whole time. But
hey, I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not alone there. I mean, you have a lot in common now with a 5'0" girl that's
wow,
like a human Barbie doll. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Just call me Ken.
There you go. Not quite how we pick your kin, but hey.
Right?
It's all about how you feel and how you project. That's what
that's right.
That's pretty good. Well, I did want to play before we do that, actually, I wanted to get your reactions since you are a country music guy. The CMAs were pretty recent, and yes. I just wanted to get your reaction. Obviously, my favorite is Mr. Chris Stapleton when it comes to just overall.
Stapleton's a beast.
Overall. Yes. And he cleaned up. He won everything. He won Single of the Year for Starting Over. He won Album of the Year with Starting Over, Song of the Year, Male Vocalist of the Year. But what I didn't understand, how do you win all of these, but you don't get Entertainer of the Year? Luke Combs won Entertainer of the Year. And I love Luke Combs, too. couple other winners. Let's see. He won Song of the Year. I already said that. Female Vocalist of the Year was Carly Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
She beat Miss Maren Morris, Gabby Barrett, Miranda Lambert, and Ashley McBride.
I think Gabby Barrett should have won that one.
Well, yeah, actually, Gabby Barrett.
My two choices would have been Gabby Barrett or Ashley McBride.
Yeah.
That was one of the big ones that I disagreed on.
Okay. I don't know any Carly Pierce. I hadn't heard of her. Now, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I don't really listen to her.
Okay. And then Group of the Year was Old Dominion. It seems like that one kind of flips every year. They just give it to whoever. Like,
yeah,
the Big Town. I'm sure they've won
so many
before.
Groups.
Exactly. Yeah. Lady A, Zac Brown Band. It's all the same people every time. Midland. Yeah. See, Vocal Duo of the Year, Brothers Osborne. They beat Brooks and Dunn, Dan and Shay, which is surprising. Dan and Shay had a big album come out.
Yes. I really thought that, and I'm not a big Dan and Shay fan, but I really thought that they were going to win it. But then I also really thought that, especially between Brothers Osborne, or before Brothers Osborne, because I don't really listen to a lot of Brothers Osborne. Their first single that they ever came out with, Rum, I really liked that one. That was a good song. But after that, they haven't really released a song. I was like, oh, yeah, I could just listen to that all the time. But, you know, Brooks and Dunn, they didn't really release anything new. But, man, they have become the most newly relevant 90s artist.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, you got guys like Luke Combs and Drew Parker. That are writing songs with them and for them and bringing them on their shows and traveling with them and doing all that and promoting their music. And then they had the what was the name of the album that they did? Brooks and Dunn. They did like the remake album, whatever it was called. And you know, they Kane Brown and Maren Morris and Midland and you know Luke Combs. All these guys hopped on this album and, you know, just blew up what Brooks and Dunn had already built to be one of the greatest country duos of all time. I don't know. I was really surprised that I was very surprised Dan Shay didn't win it, but then I was really surprised that Brooks and Dunn didn't take it away, which kudos to Brothers Osborne. You know, I don't know that they've always been around, but I don't know that they've ever really won a bunch of big awards. And so I think it was cool that they finally got to win one. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. They're really good. They're all good. All of these people.
Oh yeah.
Entertainer of the Year ended up going to Luke Combs. He beat Stapleton, Carrie Underwood, Miranda Lambert, and Eric Church. Obviously Luke Combs could win any award every year.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised to see that he did beat Chris Stapleton after Stapleton won all those other awards against him. That didn't make much sense to me.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Starting Over, which was the album of the year for Chris Stapleton, Song of the Year, Album of the Year, and Single of the Year, all for that title track song of an album, I didn't think that was the best song on the album myself.
Man,
you can't go wrong. But that one's really kind of it doesn't do much, that song. It's very simple, which he's amazing at keeping things simple and also making them just beautiful. I mean, it's how part of his style, besides depending on what he wants to do, but
If I'm being honest, one of the best Chris Stapleton songs that I've listened to recently, and I know that when people listen to this, they're probably gonna get so mad at me. But the song that he did with Morgan Wallen, he sang the second verse to and then co-wrote as well.
Yeah. That song wasn't even one of the bigger ones on that album either.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
No, but that, if you listen to Chris Stapleton's harmony line in that song, oh my gosh, it is absolutely beautiful. And I think that, the reason that Chris didn't win Entertainer of the Year is because he is a simple kind of guy. He is I think, you know, he doesn't have to have the big massive shows with, you know, because everybody else that was in the category of Entertainer of the Year, they put on massively huge shows. And they, you know, and Chris sells out his shows, but you know, he doesn't do big productions like the other ones do. You know what I mean?
And it's so him, I think a guitar that's and why, his band.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, and I think that that's why, you know, he didn't win Entertainer of the Year. But he's – there is – and this is my personal opinion – there is no one until he quits making music. There is no one that should ever beat him for male vocals of the year.
No, period. No, there's he really nobody got, better.
No, he has got the most. It's I can't say smooth because he's got that
it's raw.
Rasp,
yeah.
Raw. That's what I was looking for. He has got the most raw and you can take
powerful.
You have that country vibe. But then you have that just jazzy,
bluesy soul.
Bluesy soul. Yeah, like he is the best country music singer that there is today worldwide. Any kind of country music, folk, Americana, anything. Even when he was with the Steel Drivers.
Yeah.
He is what made that band who they were.
That's what I was about to mention. His
voice was so stinking good.
Yeah, their first album came out 14 years ago, back in 2008, The Steel Drivers. And he's not really been getting recognition until about 5 or 6 years ago when Tennessee Whiskey.
Yeah, when
Whiskey
he did the
really,
remake of Tennessee Whiskey. Yeah.
Yeah, when that came out, everybody kind of recognized it because it was a radio song. And then Justin Timberlake did it with him live, and that blew it up even more. But yeah, like you said, he's been one of the best, if not the best. Now he is definitely the best for a while. And he's been writing longer than that.
Yes. And that's what I was about to say. It's amazing the amount of songs that have been number ones that he wrote before people even knew his name, you know?
He's in the same kind of boat as Bruno Mars when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yes. And another up-and-coming guy that a lot of people are starting to hear his name, Hardy. Hardy,
yeah.
You know, was a big
I was about
time
to bring
writer.
Him up, actually.
Yeah, you know, Hardy was, and I got to, you know, I got to open for him at the Lynchburg Music Festival this year.
Nice.
And, man, his dad, we got to meet his dad, too. It was really cool. His dad was a super cool guy. Him and Ernest, I got to meet Ernest. Super cool dudes. But, I mean, those guys, they put on a show, Hardy did. Hardy and his band. They put on a show, and they were even cooler people, you know, to talk to be able to go into an artist tent and talk to me, you know, like a little small time artist that was there. That was just cool. You know, for them to come out, shake my hand, have a beer with me and just be like, hey, you know, like keep doing your thing.
Man, yeah.
One of the coolest experiences I could have ever had. So, you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, it's hard for an artist like me to sit here and just not fangirl a little bit, you know, but
you're aspiring to do what they are doing. So it makes sense. And you're on your way and you recognize it. Some people, they just see it and they're like, wow, that's awesome. And then they don't think twice. I mean, this is what you do. Right. This is what you're living to do right now. So, yeah, you have a different appreciation for it. Speaking of Hardy, nominated, did not win New Artist of the Year. Do you know who won New Artist of the Year?
Jimmy Allen, right?
Yeah. Yep, that's correct.
Yeah.
Gabby Barrett was also nominated. You mentioned her earlier also. Yeah. Yep. Hardy was
Jimmy
good.
Allen.
For Morgan Wallen. I saw him
yeah.
A couple months ago. I think it was November. Hardy was great.
Hardy's fantastic. Hardy is, but Hardy is the only, and I can say this about it. Well, there's a lot of newer artists now that you can say this about, but Hardy was the first concert that I ever attended where I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the part of country music that I don't like right now. And this is just me being raw and honest. Man, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, when you played a show, and even, honestly, even early 2000s, you played a concert, you know there's kids there. You do not use four-letter words, period.
Yeah.
And, Man, I'm not going to lie. The one thing that kind of turned me off from a lot of concerts that I've heard this year was the excessive use of the F word.
Yeah.
And I when I was listening to that, you know, because I'm not perfect. I've definitely used the F word before,
mm-hmm.
You know, being angry or whatever it might be. But you will never, ever, ever, ever hear me at a concert saying that. You know, even like the song Feathered Indians by Tyler Childers has that word in it. And I don't say that word when I sing that song. You know,
yeah.
That word to me doesn't really have a place in country music, because country music, man, is meant for all ages. And so that's the one thing about a lot of the newer artists that I don't like that we're going towards, is the use of whatever words we want to do.
Sure.
But other than that, Hardy put on one of the best concerts that I've ever seen. And I've been to
energy, so much energy.
Yes. And he's got that. He also, like, if you listen to the song Boots, mm-hmm. Boots is country. Boots is, you know, country rock, but it's also like the guitar riffs and stuff in there are kind of grungy. Like,
yeah,
you know, he has a lot of that 90s, like grunge rock vibe in a lot of his stuff too, which I really enjoy. So he's an all around different guy, like, and he's not a boots and Wranglers and a button down and a cowboy hat kind of country. You know, he has flat bill hats with a shirt that's probably got some kind of drug saying on it, and Wrangler jeans, but then he's wearing like Vans, you know. But he's singing, but he's got a fat chaw on his lip and a beer in his hand, and he's like today's weird country, and I love it.
Yeah,
I love today's.
We're gonna see country. We're gonna see that become the norm. It's coming. It's going.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. Yeah,
like you started seeing it more of a pop kind of vibe with Dan and Shay, really more of a lighthearted kind of pop sound. Considering it country, some people don't. But then you get another evolution, in my opinion, with Morgan Wallen. Who sings pop songs with twang in a lot of ways. Now he does make the old school country songs as well. But Hardy's gonna,
I think you can, and that style, you can call it like hippie country. I think that's what I would call it. Would be like
hipster
country, or like grunge country, like something to that extent, you know. But I dig the music. I don't think that, you know, I'm not gonna lie, dude, I've listened to a lot of Hardy lately. And it's really good music, and he's such a good songwriter. And I agree with you. I think that the more that he writes for big artists, and the more that he puts out these songs, man, the more popular that kind of style of music is going to be.
Absolutely. Well, we mentioned I mentioned Bruno Mars writing for other people, and Chris Stapleton. A lot of people. Just one example. You probably already know this, but like, Stapleton wrote the song "If It Hadn't Been for Love" by Adele.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote "Crash and Burn" by Thomas Rhett, "Never Wanted Nothing More," Kenny Chesney, "Don't Start Lying to Me Now," Joss Stone, like all these songs that a lot of people have heard. They might not have even realized "Love's Gonna Make It All Right," George Strait.
He wrote that song by George.
Your Man.
I mean, and like, I mean, and that's just a token to, and honestly, he is so great. Like, the fact that you can release a song previously recorded by George Jones, the Possum himself, and for that song to be released and people think it's your original song, bro. Yeah. Like,
that, if anybody's earned the right to do that, that's him.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, he also wrote "Your Man" by Josh Turner, which is another mm-hmm. huge country song. I mean, he's been doing it for years. I'll go ahead and say a couple Bruno Mars ones as well. He wrote "All I Ask" by Adele, which is one of my favorite Adele songs. Bruno Mars wrote that one. He wrote "Feel Right," Mark Ronson, "Forget You," CeeLo Green. That's a huge popular one.
Really? I didn't know that one.
Yeah. Yeah. "Right Round" by Flo Rida. And also the B.O.B. song, "Nothing on You." He wrote that for B.O.B. also. So even though he's in it, like he wrote
Yeah.
That. So
that's crazy. Same,
similar vein. A lot of people don't know that kind of stuff. It's some awesome stuff. Yeah. Well, I did want to play a little game, and then we'll talk about some football. Now this game
sounds like a plan.
We'll be done really quick, but you can expand on your thoughts as much as you want. It's very simple. All you got to do is just pick one. That's all you got to do. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, Kelsey Ballerini or Maren Morris?
Oh,
to me, it's easy. It's easy to me, but I'm going to let you, I don't want to sway your answer.
I'm not a fan of either one of them, but I'm going to go Kelsey Ballerini.
Okay. That's the right answer in my opinion. And I'm in the same boat. I'm not a huge fan of either one, but in terms of just like songwriting, they both are talented. But
yeah, Ballerini, I'm not a Maren Morris. And that was almost an easy choice. Yeah. I'm not a fan of Kelsey Ballerini, but I cannot stand Maren Morris to be one of them songs.
Oh man. Well, transitioning next one. I have Shania Twain or Martina McBride. I already know your answer, but I want to go
Shania Twain. All day. I know. I'm telling you, I would marry that woman today. My wife already knows. She knows. That is my.
You don't even have to leave her. Y'all can move to Utah and you can just do sister wife.
Exactly. Exactly. Go. I'm okay with it.
How old is she now?
She's got to be in her 40s, late 40s or 50s. But that woman was my first crush ever. She could sing to me anytime she wants. I love that woman. I've never met her, but I love that woman.
Yeah, it'd probably be better if you never meet her. You're going to be shocked. She's 56.
Wow, 56?
Surprisingly, she's 2 years older than Faith Hill. I didn't realize Faith Hill was 54.
Faith Hill is another great. She was so, and I know she retired from music because of Tim. But Faith is extremely talented and a very beautiful woman as well. Like she could have been a country music superstar, and she got out of the way for her husband, which I think is absolutely crazy.
All right. Well, you mentioned him. I'm going to go ahead and do his next. I got Jason Aldean versus Tim McGraw.
Ooh, are we basing this on like their music that they have out?
Whatever you want. You can base it on anything.
Oh, no. That one's hard. I'm going to say as of right now, today, I'm going to go with Jason Aldean. And the only reason is because the last few songs that Tim has put out have been god-awful. Now, his 90s stuff was fantastic. You know, you got Indian Outlaw, you know, all those amazing songs that he put out. 90s, early 2000s, but I think Jason Aldean is going to be one of the more well-known country superstars for years and years and years to come.
Yeah, he's fantastic. They're both kind of timeless sounds.
Oh yeah, that one's a tough one.
Yeah,
that one's a tough one.
All right, I got Luke Bryan and Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley, that one's easy.
You're not a big Luke Bryan fan.
I'm not.
You met him. You told me, what was it you told me? Tell me about his handshake. What was it you said?
It wasn't very firm.
It was the dead fish. It was the dead fish handshake.
Yeah, I've been guilty of, you know, just not getting a good grip before, or maybe they'd close their hand before I closed mine. Yada yada yada. And maybe that's the situation that he had. I'm not gonna say. I'm just gonna say it. He had a weak handshake. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. He had a weak handshake. And, I mean, and you know, maybe
he probably had a long day of shaking hands. You never know.
You're right. You know, he probably shook 5 million people's hands before that, and that's great and good. But when you see a big burly bearded country boy, I don't know. I get excited when I shake a country man's hand. I'm like, oh yeah, what's up, man? You know, just throw it in there real nice and good. He didn't do it. I was very upset.
He just kind of just threw it out there. You were like, what are you doing? I thought we had
exactly.
That's funny. Let's see. I figure I know your answer for this one. You can base it off their music only. Let's do Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen.
Oh, snap.
I think it's a tough one. They're both amazing.
That's a tough one.
They're both on top of their games at the top of country right now, too. Both of them. You might be surprised to know. When it comes to streaming numbers, right now Morgan Wallen is still ahead of him, which a lot of people don't realize. And he's only had two out.
I'm going to say, that's hard. Man, I'm going to say right now, I'm going to have to go. Oh, no, I don't know. Can it be a tie? Do I have to pick?
It could be a tie.
It could be a tie. It's going to have to be a tie for that. Because I think Luke Combs is the better songwriter, and he writes more songs that really touch, like, my heart and who I – you know what? Actually, it's not even a tie. I'm going to go Luke Combs.
There it is. I knew once he started talking about the songwriting, I was like, he's going to change his mind.
Yeah, because, man, Luke, you know, and Morgan's, man, he's a heck of an entertainer. He has great songs. That whole – the whole double album, Dangerous, the double album, was fantastic. There was not a bad song on the album. But – when you listen to the songs that Luke writes, just like his most recent single, Doing This,
yeah,
that song perfectly portrays what I'm going through at the moment. You know, like, as an up-and-coming artist, you know, like, I've got my truck, but then our other car is, you know, it's kind of a beater. You know, like, I'm playing bars, I'm playing every show that I possibly can. And when people back home are like, hey, you know, when are you going to move home? You know, nobody, you have people that believe in you, and you have people that always doubt you. And when people say, like, well, you know, you have a day job and you're doing music, but what would you be doing if you weren't, you know, doing country music? I'd still be doing the same exact thing I'm doing now. Yeah. You know, like, you know, when you have a passion, you have a dream about what you're going about doing, and man, you know, I've had so many dreams in the past that kind of got ripped out from under me. And I'll be danged if I let that one happen to this dream too. So it's like that song, the song Doing This, I've been listening to that song nonstop lately.
It's a good one.
Yes. And
I get so excited when he puts out new songs.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, he writes about his family. The one that he wrote about his grandfather made me cry the first time I hear it. You know, and it's just, he's just a phenomenal songwriter, and it very, yeah. I feel like he's a really big family man too, which I'm not saying Morgan isn't, but he's got a lot of those songs that are really family based, you know? So,
well, it definitely is a different vibe for both of them, you know?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And different style altogether. One's got more timbre in his voice. The other one's got more rasp, you know?
Yeah,
it is. Hey, it's all about preference at this point. Last one.
Yeah.
I figure I know your answer. I've said that on most of these, but the closest I could think of for against each other is Garth Brooks and George Strait.
Dang, it's hard. I'm going to have to go George.
I knew you were going to say George. Yeah, I think George has the more – George is just – I don't know. I can't decide on that one because I think that Garth has the better big songs, but George has the more in the middle that's better, I think.
To me, Garth, and this might be petty.
His personality really kind of rubs people the wrong way too.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what I was gonna say. You know, I get it's what we touched on this earlier with the album thing. You know, I get not wanting other people to make money off your hard work. I understand that. But I also feel like you gotta give the people what they want. And as an artist, it's not always about the money, and it's not always about you know, keeping it pure. Sometimes it's honestly about the people that listen to your music and making that readily available for them, keeping up with the times.
Yeah.
Is kind of what we're supposed to do as artists. And if we can't do that, then why are we still making music? You know what I mean? And I honestly think that's why he hasn't come out with any new music lately, is because he can't keep up with the times. He refuses to do that. And I think
it's all going to go on the radio. That's it. He's not going to get any money off of it.
Right. And I think if he didn't do that, you know, if he were to release new music and didn't go with the times, he knows it would just be a bust. And I don't think he wants a bust, you know, anywhere on his track record. And I think, man, that's the cool thing about George. And I've actually got to talk to George Jones. I've actually got to talk to George Strait on the phone one time before. I met a guy that knew him very well. And we had struck up a conversation, and he was like, "You want to talk to George Strait?" And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Yeah." He was like, "You want to talk to him?" I was like, "Yeah." And I didn't believe, you know, I was like, "You can't just regular like phone call him because I'm not going to believe it's actually him on a cell phone." He was like, "Oh yeah, no problem. Let me FaceTime him real quick." Oh, and sure as crap, it was George Strait, and I got to talk to him on the phone, and he was a real cool dude. Like, I mean, obviously, it only lasted like 1 minute. He had no idea who he was. He had no idea who I was. And the guy sent him the link to my album. So there's a possibility that George Strait has listened to my album, which is really cool. But yeah, I mean, like, I feel like if I sat in a room with the two of them, like, separately, that I would have a lot more conversation with George than what I would Garth.
I think anybody would.
Yeah, for sure.
He's always got this weird kind of demeanor about him. I don't know. He always seems kind of fake.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also think he lost a bunch of, and this is petty too, not really respect. I mean, I respect the man for what he's done for country music, but I thought it was very weird that when I found out that dude released a pop album under a different name.
When was this?
Yeah, he has like, I've never listened to it, but he has an alter ego, and you'll have to search like Garth Brooks alter ego, but he has an alter ego that he did like a pop album with, and I can't remember the name.
Chris?
That might be it.
Hold on. Okay, it says Chris Gaines was a one-off fictional rock persona created as a movie character for Garth Brooks to explore musical styles far removed from his success as a country singer.
Yeah, so he
has an album called Garth Brooks in, excuse me, Garth Brooks in The Life of Chris Gaines.
Yeah.
That's weird,
dude. Yeah, it's just weird to me. Like, I don't know. I don't think I could have. It's like if someone asked me to like braid my hair and do a hip hop album, I couldn't do it. You know, I don't know.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had someone else posing for pictures. And I think it's someone else. I don't know.
No, it's him. It's just his hair highlighted and stuff. Yes.
Yeah, that is him. Oh my God. And he's got a goatee instead of a, whatever you call that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right under the lip. That's it. That's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Interesting. Wow.
I've never actually taken the time to go listen. The music may be great. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I never could get myself to go listen to it.
Huh. Wow. Well, one last thing I want to get your thoughts on before we start talking about football, because my wife would kill me if I didn't bring it up. Taylor Swift has been re-releasing all of her music. We're talking about doing things for the fans. I'm just curious what your thoughts are, because, I mean, at one end, she's doing it so that way she owns it all. And that's the money side of it. And kind of that Scooter Braun, her manager and their company, kind of rubbed her the wrong way.
Scott Borchetta, yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't let her buy the music for herself to own, which I get on their end too. They're like, why? Why would we do that? We're making a lot of money off it.
Yeah, they're
like,
making millions. Yeah.
Yeah. So then she goes, okay, well, I could just re-record all of it. And they were like, no, you won't. And she's like, okay, bet. Now she's re-recorded two or three albums. I think two of them now. And third one coming soon. But they're getting bigger than her albums were when they first came out. But also doing things for the fans. I think this is the good side of it. Because I get why she's doing it. It's kind of, it doesn't really affect my thinking of her music. When I listen to it again, it sounds the same most of the time. Very similar, at least, a few changes here or there. But she's releasing all these songs that didn't get to come out, which I think is cool. She's all these songs that were in the vault, is what they call it. So doing things for the fans on that end, I respect. I do. I don't really care about what's going on behind the scenes for some famous millionaire. You know what I mean? Go ahead with your thoughts on that.
So I have never been a big Taylor Swift fan, but I will say this: as an artist, you find your personality, you find your confidence as an artist, you find who you are as a person in your music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was really jacked up the way that Scooter Braun and Scott Borchetta and Big Machine decided to handle that situation. Do I think they were wrong for it? No, because they were making millions. But do I think it was the right decision morally? No.
Well, and they ended up taking the L in the end anyway, because
right.
She could just decide, hey, I'm just going to do this myself, and y'all are going to look really bad. And
yeah.
This extra stuff instead of this going, you know, obviously she was out of her contract anyway. She's not going to release anything under their label anymore anyway.
Right, right.
But they, instead of just saying, instead of just biting the bullet and doing it, they look like the idiots
right.
because of the way that she's turned it back on.
I think it's one of the best things that could have ever happened to the music business. And my reasoning is this, is that everybody in the music business has gotten so worried about the money aspect and how do we make more money and how do we do this? And it even goes to the point of, well, does this artist look like an artist that could make us money? And that was always the cool thing about Luke Combs too, is he's a big guy, you know, yeah. He was one of the first ever really big dudes to ever make it, you know, like that. And I think it just goes to show, like, people are more worried about money than they are
pleasing the fans.
And that is not what music is about. It's dang sure not what country music is about. You know, country music is about storytelling, and she does that very well.
Yeah. Taylor Swift. I'm kind of with you. I was never the biggest Taylor Swift fan, but I can definitely acknowledge she's so talented
when yes. it comes to writing. Her songwriting is
especially recently. Phenomenal. These two new albums that she released by surprise, Evermore and Folklore, they're both sick. Okay, now I don't like the music as much, but when I'm listening to it and I hear because I try to listen for the deeper stuff and yeah. listen more than just how it sounds on the radio. I want to hear like the music behind it, the vocals with the harmonies, what all do they do? I try to listen for that stuff. I'm not necessarily a trained ear, but I've been around it enough where I can know what to listen for.
Right.
So, you know, singing on stage at churches and I had a little tiny band for like a month and stuff like that. But yeah, I've learned how to listen for that stuff. And when it comes to some of these songs, I'm just like, dadgum. And then just some of the songs that she's written, I'm just like, that girl, she can write.
You know, now I'm gonna have to go listen to it because I haven't listened to either one of them.
They're very different.
Now, you know, you're making me have to go listen to them.
It's not country. Yeah, it's not country. It's different. Like these two new ones they're not pop either. It's really alternative, if you want to give it or an indie style. It's very what's the best way to say it? Reserved is not the right word I'm looking for. It'll come to me in a minute, but it's not in your face pop music. It's very subdued and it takes its time, which I appreciate. But every single song tells a story in these new albums, which I think you would appreciate also.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's I'm not gonna lie, it's really good. Which is it's.
Well, now I'm gonna have to go listen because
I think you should. I think you should.
Yeah, and then that's one thing that I can do is like listen to artists I don't necessarily like, and be open minded about their talent. Because I mean, there's always gonna be someone you don't like their voice, you don't necessarily like the kind of things that they record, but you can always look and see the talent of hey. They can write a heck of a song. And, you know, the production behind it, you know, because a lot of the production behind it, you have great producers, you have great sound engineers in Nashville, LA, Atlanta, wherever you're recording. But a lot of that stuff is up to the artist. And a lot of the sound that you hear, you know, is ideas that the artist has. So that all, whenever you listen to a song, you know, obviously the words of the songwriter, but you know, the sound that the artist wants to portray with those words is always very interesting, and something you have to be non-biased and listen to and really respect the talent that they have, even though you don't like them as an artist.
Yeah.
You have to realize that they're talented.
Yeah. That's definitely one thing that she is. It's kind of, yeah, that's absolutely it. And the music videos, I don't know if you've seen them. I think it's called Evermore. No, the song, oh, Brianne is going to kill me. For anybody listening, my wife is the biggest Taylor
Swift fan. The biggest Taylor Swift fan.
She goes into it all the time with me for at least 15 minutes a day, telling me about this one song and what it means and why it's significant and why this means this and all that. And I'm just like, that's
great. You know what's funny is, like, yeah, you know, you have Brianne, who is the biggest Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah.
My manager, Ethan Perry, is probably the biggest Justin Bieber fan I've ever met in my life.
I'm a big Justin Bieber fan. I'm going to see him again in August. I think August.
Oh, don't tell my manager that. He'll be so mad. He's never gotten to see him in concert. But he wears his merch.
Oh my lord.
Like, oh dude. Like, he has the peaches shirt and hat, like matching shirt and hat.
I didn't love the new album as much as some did. It was good, but yeah. The song's called Willow, by the way. I think the music video is what I'm thinking of. The first one's called Cardigan, and then the second music video is called Willow. And you kind of need to watch them back to back. But the set pieces in those videos are crazy. Like the piano, and then there's water coming out of it, and they're in like a meadow in a forest. It's the whole aesthetic of it it's beautiful. I'm telling you. Beautiful. It's pretty.
I have to go check it out.
Yeah, definitely give it a look. All right, enough of that. Let's get over to NFL playoffs coming up.
Let's do it.
All right. I did this with Steven last week on the podcast. I'm going to have you read off Jacob's picks. Now, do you want to make picks yourself? Or I don't know if you do.
Yeah, I can make picks. I'm down.
Okay, sweet. Well, I'm going to just send you Jacob's, and I'll have you read those off. And then my buddy Brandon also, he wants to do it too. So I'm going to, every week at the end of the podcast, whoever I have on, I'm just going to have I'm going to just talk about whatever the picks were that were sent to me. If you want to do it too, I can keep up with yours also every week. But we're just going to do every playoff game, because it'll get less and less every week anyway. So it's not going to be too hard to keep up with. So I'm going to send you a link. Do you have are you on your phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, do you know how to read lines?
See, no, I don't know any of that. All I can do is pick a winner and tell you how much they're going to win by, and that's about it.
Okay, well, if you could do that, then you can pick a line then. So,
okay, word.
All right, I'm going to send you this in the chat. These are Jacob's picks. Oh, wait, hold on.
The chat on here?
Yeah, I'm going to send it on the chat.
How does that work?
It should just pop up. Oh,
okay.
All right, so I'm going to type it out. But basically, when you're picking lines, I kind of explained this last week to Steven, but I'll do it again, no problem. So when you're seeing a line, that's how much they have to win by. Now, if it's a plus, that means it's an underdog. And if it's a minus, that means that they're a favorite, okay?
Okay.
So if you're looking at it and you think, okay, I'm just going to give an example. The first one that Jacob has, he has Raiders +5.5 at the Bengals, okay? So that means that the Raiders are playing against the Bengals in Cincinnati. The Raiders are 5.5-point underdogs. Okay. So the Raiders can still lose and you still win on your pick. Okay. But they lose by more than 6 because it's 5.5. So if they lose by 6 or more, then you don't win it. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. So I'm typing out Jacobs. I'm going to just send him a couple at a time. So I'm going to have you read his off, and then you can kind of make your
more. Okay, so he's got – oh, dang, it disappeared. How do I go back to that?
I don't know.
So he had the Raiders over – and then he's got the Buccaneers over the Eagles.
And you see it's -8.5. So that means
minus 8.5, yeah.
Here, I'm going to just, is it still there where you can see the whole list?
No, they go away. They only pop up for like 2 seconds and then it goes away.
Okay, let's do this then. Go on your phone.
Oh, wait.
Safari. Oh, can you find it?
Yeah, never mind. I got it. I found it. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, word. Yeah, never mind. I got it. So Raiders plus 5.5 over the Bengals. Patriots plus 4 over the Bills. Buccaneers minus 8.5 over with the Eagles. Cowboys, of course, he picked the Cowboys to beat the 49ers. Cowboys minus 3 over the 49ers. He got Steelers plus 12. What?
And that just means that they could still lose. They could lose by 10 and he still covers.
Right.
But if they can't lose by 13 or more. Does that make sense?
I don't think. Okay.
It's always fun to hear someone that doesn't. That's the last one. Hear somebody Rams, for the first time kind of thinking it through. So I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Okay. So my picks, I definitely.
And you, so if you want to flip it, so like for example, if you think, let's just go with the first one for now. So Jacob's first one, I'm going to read them off first and then we'll have you make yours after. Okay. And I'll give my thoughts on all of his and I'll make mine afterwards after you do yours.
Okay.
So Jacob, we're going to start over our records. At the end of the season, we both went 0-3 last week, me and Jacob both, which is kind of unheard of that we both didn't win a single one. So it's pretty terrible. But week 18 is a weird week to bet anyway. We had a couple backdoor covers that screwed us over. But ending the season, I did end up with a winning record for the season. I was 29-24-1. The one is a push. That means that it was minus 3 or something, and it ended up winning by 3. Jacob did end up with a losing record. He needed to win 2 out of 3 this last week to keep the winning record for the season. He ended up at 25-28-1. So unfortunately, he didn't end up with a winning record, but it's not bad. This is a very hard thing to do, actually. And every single one is a 50-50 chance of you getting it in terms of just odds. But that being said, going into the playoffs, we're going to start fresh. So we're both at 0-0. I did beat Jacob in the regular season. I'm sorry to tell you, sir, but it is what it is. All right, so Jacob's picks going into the wild card weekend of the NFL playoffs. He has Raiders plus 5.5 at the Bengals. I actually do like that pick. It's not a bad one, 5.5. It's a high enough number where you don't feel too bad about it because the Raiders normally keep games close. And the Bengals' weakness is their offensive line. They have a lot of trouble defending Joe Burrow. And the Raiders have a good pass rush. They got Ngakoue, and they also have Max Crosby, who gets at the quarterback all the time. So it's not a bad pick on the road against Joe Burrow in that offense. It's kind of scary, but Burrow did get hurt at the end of that last game. So we'll see how he looks. He didn't play at all last week. Now, Patriots plus 4 at the Bills. So that means that the Patriots can either win or lose, but they can't lose by more than 3 points if you want to cover that. Now, I don't like this pick, and everybody knows I'm a Patriots fan. I think the Bills are probably going to win pretty handily. They've kind of figured out what the Patriots want to do against them is just run the ball and try to maybe work some over the top. I'm not super confident with the injuries that the Patriots have on defense. Jalen Mills is probably out, and Kyle Duggar, I think, has a broken hand or something. He's barely practiced, and he's a workhorse on defense, especially in the rushing defense. So we'll see how that one goes. I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to pick Bills minus 4 at home against the Patriots in this one. I just don't think the Pats can keep up. Jacob also has Buccaneers minus 8.5. So it's a big line, but they should be able to cover against the Eagles. I know that their offense is kind of decimated at the receiving position with a lot of guys hurt right now. Buccaneers have to win by 9. I could see them winning by 2-3 touchdowns against the Eagles. They just got to be able to make sure that Jalen Hurts plays like Jalen Hurts and don't let him play like he can. I mean, he can play good, but inconsistent is the best way to consider him. Mm-hmm. And again, high-powered offenses haven't done good for the Eagles. You saw them get blown out by the Cowboys twice. They're not good enough on defense to slow them down, in my opinion. And Brady's going to be locked in like he always is. He does have Cowboys minus 3 at home against the Niners. Now, this one is one of the harder ones to pick, in my opinion. I jokingly text one of my friends 2 weeks ago before Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. They ended up losing this game that I'm talking about, but Niners were up early on the game. I don't remember who they were playing, but I texted them. I was just joking. I said, Niners and Packers NFC Championship, call it now. The Niners had been on fire. Their defense is playing really good like they did at the beginning of the year. Garoppolo has looked solid. He's always up for one or two really bad throws a game. Their defense, I think, is good enough to slow down the Cowboys, even though they're on the road. They run the ball well, which I think you have to do on the Cowboys to slow the game down. I think the Niners can win this game, so I'm not going to be picking Cowboys -3, even though I think the Cowboys probably will win close. I'll end up going Niners +3 on this one. Every time I've picked against the Cowboys this year, it's hurt me, though. I'm not going to lie. So we'll see what happens. But I like the Niners on the road +3 against the Cowboys. Most people are going to be picking the Cowboys in that one. He did pick the Steelers +12.5. He's got to just not like how many points it is. They are in Arrowhead at where the Chiefs play. I don't think the Steelers can keep up.
Yeah, the Steelers don't have a chance. There's no
way. Roethlisberger can't help it but throw it 4 yards short to every pass that he makes, especially early in games. If they get out to a lead somehow, like if Najee Harris breaks a big run or something, if the Chiefs defense plays like they did at the beginning of the year, I just don't see it. Now, they already beat the Chiefs once, or they already beat the Steelers once this year in Arrowhead. I just don't see how they can keep up, the Steelers. I don't know if the Chiefs are going to win the whole thing this year, but I don't see them.
I don't have them picked to win the whole thing this year, but I think
they should blow them out.
Yeah, I think that this game is this out of all the games here, this one's the easiest one to pick.
Yeah. Now it is 12.5 points. So the bad thing about these is if you have like a 17-point lead and it's the fourth quarter, and then the Steelers score a touchdown and then they bring it to 10. So then you don't, even though they still lose by 10. Big yawn right there.
Yes. Sorry.
I went on for a minute. I hesitate to pick a spread that big just to pick the favorite in a spread that's over 12 points. That's a big line. But the Chiefs in the playoffs haven't let us down but one time since Mahomes has been there. So
right.
I'm going to end up going with the Chiefs in that one too. And then Rams -3.5 versus the Cardinals. That's a tough game. Now to pick.
It is a tough game.
Both these teams are good. Rams have all these players on defense, but for some reason their defense hasn't been that great. Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, they're loaded on both sides of the ball. Cooper Kupp is going to be a finalist for MVP. He's not going to win it. It's going to be one of the top MVP candidates this year. Aaron Rodgers or Brady is going to win it. Looks like Rodgers. But at the end of the day, Cardinals also with Kyler Murray being able to move around. That's a tough game to pick. If I have to pick, I'm probably just going to end up going with the Rams just because I think they have a better coach. As long as Stafford doesn't turn the ball over. Now, he threw a terrible pick at the end of the game last week against the Niners, ended up letting the Niners into the playoffs. So, no, I'm going to flip it. I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I think that I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I'm going to think about
it. That's a toss-up game.
Yeah, it's tough. And 3.5 is it's a line that's scary to make because Cardinals lose by 3. You still don't cover, and I could totally see it being a 3-point game. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals just for the value of those 3 points, just because I think they can win. I don't know if they will. I don't know. I mean, it depends on what Matt Stafford we see. I don't think he's ever won a playoff game.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's the reason I'm going to pick the Rams and hoping that by me picking them, it could put some good juju out in the world for him to be able to win a game. I think Matt Stafford, he was a heck of a player at Georgia.
Yeah, he was.
He's always been a heck of a quarterback and tough at Detroit, but I don't think he ever got surrounded by a good enough team to ever really do anything.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pick the Rams. I don't really know how the minus and plus works, but I'm gonna pick the Rams that they'll win by 7. So however you need to write that down.
So you think they're gonna win by 7, that means that they'll cover that spread then. If you think they're gonna win by 7, then you'd pick the Rams because that means that they're gonna cover the 3.5.
Okay. Yeah. So I picked the Rams by 7. I picked the Chiefs by 2 touchdowns easily.
Okay.
I think, and it could be more than that. I think they're going to demolish the Steelers.
Okay.
I'm gonna go, and this is gonna taste like vinegar coming out of my mouth, but I'm gonna go Cowboys over the 49ers.
Okay.
But, and the only reason I do that is because I hate the Cowboys, but I love Dak Prescott.
Seems like a good dude.
Yeah, I want him to succeed. I want him to do that. I can't stand Ezekiel Elliott. But I really appreciate Dak for who he is, and the reason he plays the game the way that he does, you know, about his mom and stuff like that. So I'm going to go Cowboys.
You love the family guys. You love the family, man.
Yeah, I love the family guys, man. Those are always the best. But I am going to say that they win it fourth quarter, possibly by a touchdown, but I'm going to say the field goal wins it at the end. For that game, I think that's pretty good matchup there.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to go Buccaneers by at least two touchdowns over the Eagles.
Okay.
I'm going to pick.
Your mom will appreciate that one. She loves her some Tom Brady.
Yeah, she loves Tom Brady. I'm not really that big of a Brady fan, but I think that, it's like one of those things, even with the national championship game, you don't bet against Nick Saban. You don't bet against Tom Brady. It's just one of those things you don't do. Patriots and Bills. I am going to go Bills by 7, by a touchdown.
Okay.
And then I'm also going to go Bengals by a touchdown as well.
So you're picking all favorites on these.
Basically, I think those are pretty – I mean, I think all the favorites are pretty much.
They're all home teams.
Yeah. The only one I think is, you know, the one that's hard to pick is Rams and Cardinals. The only reason I picked the Rams is because of Matt Stafford. But I think every other game, the only other one that's going to be a little difficult is Cowboys 49ers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else I think is pretty much. Man, it's just I just don't think the Raiders can hang with the Bengals. I don't think the Patriots can hang with the Bills. I know for a fact that the Eagles can't hang with the Buccaneers, and I know for a fact the Steelers can't hang with the Chiefs. So those four games are pretty easy picks. And then the only reason I picked the other two is because I like their starting quarterbacks. So
there you go. Awesome. Well, While you're at it, go ahead and make a what are you expecting for the Super Bowl?
Well, it's, it really hurts me to say, because you know the Saints aren't even in the playoffs this year, and I am a Saints guy. But I'm gonna go. I wrote this down earlier. Hold on. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I got to Google something real quick.
It's never a bad idea to bet on a home favorite. Road favorites are a little bit scary sometimes. But a home dog, if there was a home underdog, that's always a good one to kind of go towards because they tend to
do better.
But all of these are – all everybody that's favored is on the at home. So it's definitely a strange one to pick.
I'm going to go – I think the Packers make it, bro. I think
I do too.
Packers go and Packers what? NFC? AFC?
Yep.
NFC?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay. So then I had this wrote down somewhere. I'm trying to find it.
While you're looking, I can go ahead and read off what Brandon picked. I've already given my thoughts on each one, so I'm just going to go ahead and make the picks. It actually looks like he and Jacob have a lot in common on this one, with just a couple exceptions. So he has Bengals -5.5 at home against the Raiders. This is Brandon Melanson, in case anybody's wondering. He's a good buddy of mine that listens to this podcast every single episode all the way through. He's a great listener. great buddy of mine, loves football, big LSU fan, but nobody's perfect. So,
yeah.
So he has Bengals -5.5 at home against the Raiders. He has Bills -4 at home against the Patriots, Buccaneers at home -8.5 against the Eagles, Cowboys -3 at home against the Niners. He also has the Steelers +12.5. I guess he just doesn't think the Chiefs are going to win by that many points. There's no way that I don't think he thinks the Steelers are winning. If the Steelers win this game, I'm going to be the most shocked I've ever been in my life. And then Cardinals +3.5. He has on the road against the Rams. I'll go ahead and make my official ones as well. I've got Raiders +5.5 for the reasons I stated earlier. I think the Bengals will win this. I just think the Raiders can keep it close. 49ers +3 at the Cowboys. Chiefs -12.5 against the Steelers at home. Buccaneers -8.5 at home against the Eagles. Bills -4 at home against the Patriots. And then the Cardinals +3.5 on the road against the Rams. +3.5 on the road against the Rams. Yep, that's what I got also. All right.
So this is how I have mine broke down. I found the text message. So okay. I sent this in a text message to somebody. I have Chiefs over the Steelers, which would mean the Chiefs play the Tennessee Titans. I think it depends on what Derrick Henry shows up. But I'm going to go for the upset that the Titans beat the Chiefs.
Wow.
That is my – and, you know, I live in Tennessee now, so I'm going to root for them. But I think Derrick Henry shows out. And, I think that's how it's going to go. And then I've got the Bills playing the Bengals. Bills demolish the Bengals. So then it goes Titans, Bills. And I think Bills win. Bills go to the Super Bowl against the Green Bay Packers.
And who do you got winning?
Definitely the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is a stud this year. Definitely the MVP. I think all roads lead to the Packers winning Super Bowl this year.
It seems like they've got the best chance. Their defense is what worries me. But yeah,
I'll agree with that one.
His receivers have just been locked in. Rodgers, when you watch him play, some of the throws he's made this year, he missed a couple games. He missed one full one, and then he missed the second half of this last game against the Lions when they didn't care. They didn't care to win it. Didn't affect their seeding at all. But some of the throws he makes are insane, and he's doing it all with a broken toe. So, I mean, I'm imagining that's only getting better as time's gone on. They have a week off this week also. He rested most of the game last week. Yeah.
And I do want to say this. I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, it's a broken toe, blah, blah, blah. Until you play highly competitive sports, people play high school.
And he moves around.
You know, and that's the thing. But when you go and you play, you're playing college football, you're playing NFL football, or really any college or professional sport, you have no idea how drastic small injuries like toes can be. That's your balance. That's the way you run. It's the way you step. It's the way you plant your feet. And people can say, oh, it's just a toe, you know. And I've always been that, hey, be a tough guy, suck it up and go play. And that's exactly what he's done. But he has been a stud at it. So, I just think Rodgers is, I feel like he came out a little different about it this year, man. He's always been a great quarterback, I think. But this year, I think he came for blood. He came for vengeance. And he's gonna take it all the way and put a ring on his finger. So.
I don't disagree with you. I really feel like especially, and if the Bills have been bad the last few weeks, but they were my early pick to make it when the Chiefs were playing bad. I just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the Chiefs defense sometimes looks awful. They just lost to the Bengals last week.
But look at the comeback the Chiefs have made too. Like, exactly. I think they're probably one of the hotter teams, which I know losing, last week, kind of puts the fire out a tad bit. But at the same time, man, they started out trash this season.
Yeah.
And I feel like they only got hotter as the season went on.
They were out of the playoff picture for like the first 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough.
I think that, I think that only just definitely credits their leadership. But also, you know, their locker room status as well. And I think that that's something that, especially in the playoffs, man, your leaders come to lead, and, you know, your locker room and the mentality of your locker room really comes into effect and comes into play. I think you have to definitely not doubt that in the playoffs. Yeah. I think that, and that, I think that's one of the biggest reasons I have the Titans over the Chiefs, is because you get Derrick Henry back, and that's a morale boost. But I also know Mike Vrabel is tired of people thinking that he is a subpar head coach. And I think that Tannehill is tired of people thinking that he's a subpar quarterback, which I do agree that he's a subpar quarterback, so I'm not going to say he's not.
He's definitely a guy that needs the game to be going a certain way. You don't want him. Sure. You don't want him as your quarterback when you're down. But
100%.
Yeah, there's some guys but when you're down, you're like, heck yeah, I got him. I feel fine with him. It's like, okay, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
but because he think thrives off the play action when the yes. running the ball,
especially
well.
When Derrick Henry, yeah, when Derrick Henry is Foreman. Toasting yeah. people, and Foreman's done great
off the street. Like,
yes, yes,
he's been really good the last couple weeks. So
yes, I agree.
We'll see how it goes. Well, listen, we're almost at 2 hours. So I feel like we should probably go ahead and it doesn't feel like it. It's been good.
No, it doesn't. We've been just chilling, talking.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I miss freaking getting to sit and talk to you and to watch football on Sunday nights at your apartment. I miss that so much.
Those were the days, man.
They were.
Well, we'll get you back on again soon, maybe in the next couple weeks. We'll talk some more football. I'm down.
Sounds like a plan.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Zach. Good luck to you with your music. Everybody go out and stream Hit the Bar and Little One. Put it in your TikToks. Get that going out there. Buy it on
That's
iTunes.
Right.
Listen on Spotify.
And be ready. I think we're going to do 5 songs we're releasing this year. So y'all be ready for some new music. We hit awesome. The studio in February, and it's going to be great.
It's awesome. I'm excited to hear it. Zach, it's always great to have you on. Everybody, be sure you listen, subscribe, share this podcast with everybody that you know. This was a great time. Zach, I appreciate you. We will see y'all again later. Y'all have a good one. Thank you.
Yeah.